Welcome to the Endless Honeymoon Podcast.
We're back in the woods for some reason.
We're running from Delta. We're in the woods of Mendocino, where there is no possibility of getting the Delta variant.
Honey, I'm a little worried that the second we got here, maybe that was a bad omen. What happened?
Well, that is true. I got within, I would say, 50 minutes of our arrival in the Mendocino woods. I got bit in the ass by a scorpion.
Yeah, I did not. I've never seen one of those.
Well, I never felt one of those. I was laying down a carpet, unrolling a carpet, and I kind of backed that thing up into that scorpion thing. And it felt like, well, I started making deep eye contact with Jeremy's children and screaming, fuck. Fuck, fuck, fuck. And so they looked very confused. And then I looked back. I thought there was like an ember burning my butt or something, like a fiery ember. That's what it felt like.
Wait, how did it get into your, did it bite you through your pants on your butt or did it climb in and get into your underwear?
It bit through the, I do have a scorpion in my underpants. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
That's an often repeated rumor. That boy has a scorpion in his drawers, they say. But this was not that. It was, I think it bit through my butt. Basically, I was like backing that thing up, and I felt this thing, and I started screaming the fuck, and then I looked back on the couch, and kind of like hanging there was a huge black scorpion. Then I started screaming, I got bit by a scorpion. Then Natasha came in, and in true Leggero form, started making eye contact with me and laughing.
I know, but here's why I was laughing. Miranda, who's Jeremy's wife, said, oh, don't worry, it's plastic. It's plastic. So she kept saying it was plastic.
I don't know, based on
what? It was a toy, because they have a scorpion toy.
Well,
so she figured that you saw the scorpion toy. So when I was laughing, Moshe, it's because I thought you were just playing a joke on Jeremy's kid.
No, I wasn't. Nature was playing a joke on me.
So basically, when you were moving the couch, your drawers started drooping, and that's when the scorpion saw that
succulent
ass.
Succulent, supple little plump butt.
And he climbed on it. And then do scorpions bite with their mouths?
No.
Or he stung you?
You've never seen a scorpion before?
I saw it once you took a picture of it.
They rock you like a hurricane. That's their way. It's got, what do you mean? It's the classic, you know, the tail went into my bum. And the good news is for like 2 days, I was like fucking jacked. Like I was so buff. I could lift really heavy things. Remember when I lifted the truck? I lifted the RV all the way up just using the power of the scorpion. It was pretty cool.
Well, I had a bad omen happen to me when I got here too.
What's that?
Jeremy's kids did her Cats audition 3 inches from my face. And she's saying memories. Making deep eye contact. So I don't know. That sounds...
Would you rather have a 9-year-old do an Andrew Lloyd Webber Cats audition while making eye contact with you, or get bit in the succulent white butt by a black scorpion?
That's a hard one. I'd probably do the scorpion because it's done in a second.
We had a good one, a would you rather, that you came up with recently. Would you rather, news to our listeners, okay? We'll open this up to the listeners. Would you rather get cancer or canceled? Which
it's
one?
It's not really relevant to everybody.
It
people
is.
People are like, I'd rather get canceled. They don't, what does that mean if you're not in the public eye, I guess?
No, you can get mini canceled.
Get canceled at work.
No, but it's like
you can get fired from your job.
Fired from your job. You're out of your industry. All of your friends and family, except your tightest, closest core, abandons you and is like, I never liked that person anyway. And you can no longer work in your field. You're in infamy. And people are
like, you did something embarrassing.
Yeah. What do you mean? People get canceled from the private sector all the time. We're from the public sector. You know, like remember that the first cancellation was the woman that was like flying to Africa and was like, hope I don't get AIDS, just kidding, I'm white. You remember that?
Mm-hmm.
It was like a famous case. She wasn't in the public eye, but she became in the public eye, and I'm sure that person is still reaping the benefits of that very
clever
tweet.
Would have that level
yes
of So if you're not in the public eye now, if you get canceled, you would be in the public eye
Right,
slightly.
right. Not even slightly. Like, you know, Karen from the bird watching Karen from New York City that threatened to call the cops on that black dude. Like, you're in that level of like infamy. But you.
I have an idea. How about you get canceled for being a Karen or canceled?
Well, we can't. Sure. I mean, whatever it is, it's that level. Barbecue Becky, you're at that level. Everybody knows who you are. And you're canceled, or you get a kind of cancer that has a 70% survival rate. So you're really likely to win
Ooh, and you get, yeah.
to live. Here's the other bit of information to add into your calculation. When you get cancer, the opposite of getting canceled happens. Everybody comes out of the woodworks and is like, I love that person. They're so brave, they're so special, right? When you're so people love you more. And when you're canceled, people love you less. In fact,
But you have your health, which is essentially everything.
your own family, like your mom maybe turns on you a little bit. Your mom's a little bit like, listen, honey, I love you, but I can't be associated with you in public until you get this squared away.
I think health is more important.
Write us. Let us know. What would you rather have happen to you? Cancer or canceled? Let us know. Here at the Endless Honeymoon Podcast. Today's guest is somebody that has not been canceled.
No, and the opposite. She has a
She
lot
has
of things.
cancer. This is awesome.
No. She has so many things happening, and I'm so excited to read her book, The Wreckage of My Presence. I also often listen to her podcast called Bitch Sesh,
Oh,
all about the Real Housewives.
It feels like, oh, okay, it's about the Real Housewives. Because I was going to say, if the podcast is called Bitch Sesh, it sounds like you're often a guest, just but kind of without being asked to be on the podcast. What I'm saying is sometimes you engage in a bitch sesh of your very own, if you know what I'm saying. Does that make sense, the joke?
Yes, honey.
I'm kind of like roasting you a little bit, and I felt like it was a pretty effective slam.
You can also see her on Black Monday.
I'm not doing very well since the scorpion bite. I've been trying a lot of riffs and a lot of them been falling pretty flat. But you know what doesn't fall flat? The collected works of Casey Wilson, who is our guest.
Yeah, she's our guest. Let's give her a call.
Let's do it.
Hi.
Hi, Casey.
Hi. I'm so sorry I'm late. I was doing some like weird thing for a promo and they were like a million questions. Hi.
Wait, Casey, is this your house? Because this looks like it's like a bathroom at like a hotel or something.
No, this is my house, but they had me add these weird flowers. Should I lose them for these promos
Okay.
I was doing? They're like, do you have anything you can put over there? I'm like, not really.
No, I like it. It just kind of looks like a Tudor place where I would like want to go on a holiday or something.
Yeah, we're gonna come to your spot for a holiday if you're down.
We're in an RV, so.
Where are you guys?
We're in the woods running from the Delta variant. Now, we understand that the last thing you did only had a million questions. We only have one question, Casey.
Scared.
Here's a question. Would you rather
Oh my God, this is so
be,
stupid.
would you rather get cancer
Okay.
or canceled?
Cancer.
Wow, that was such a bold, no thought about it. Now, let me tell you the parameters of the cancer. The 70% survival rate, okay?
No, that's
So,
great.
yeah, the cancellation, your close core stays with you, your family, your husband, like they'll stay.
What
Everybody
about a
else is
couple
gone.
friends?
Maybe one friend.
But
One
like that
maybe.
friend that will already do anything you say, like they're not your most exciting
Right,
friend.
but
Okay.
they're problematic themselves.
Oh, fuck. Okay, right. I don't want that friend. They keep coming out for me, but they're hurting me. Their support is hurting. Let's
Right,
stick with
it
my
doesn't help your
original
image if that's
answer.
who you keep. So cancer it is.
Because with cancer, you rightfully so, you get a lot of sympathy. People are there for you. I can't handle people not liking me. So the idea of being canceled, and I will be canceled, so know that it's not, it will come for me, but I don't think I could, and 70%, I'm an optimist. I'm good with 70.
But you don't think health is everything?
Health No,
is
career
wealth.
and image is everything.
That's right.
Health is like all we have.
Okay, honey.
I know. I don't in that scenario.
Wait, all right, so that's your question for Casey. Now I have a question for Casey.
Okay.
I know you're married to a very talented writer, and so am I. And
Yes.
does your talented writer husband try to do home projects and like get, does he have like a toolbox that he tries to like pull out and fix things, but really just makes them worse?
Okay, so I'm on the fence about saying this, but this is what he says about himself, okay? This is his words, okay? Now he is a Jewish man. I am not, and he says that I come off anti-Semitic even when I repeat these comments. But he says as a Jew, and he thinks I am, and I'm not. You know, we're raising our children Jewish. I'm possibly going through a conversion if I can find the time, but he does not. We bring in someone to help us with those things. And that is how what he attributes it to, I attribute it to laziness and not a cultural, not his culture and kind of religion.
So you actually wish he would, because coming from another woman who's married to a Jew, I wish he
Yeah.
wouldn't do his home repairs
No,
because
I'm so
he's
happy with
always.
the way it's set up.
Wait, I'm not sure I'm understanding the part where the anti-Semitism comes into play. Can you,
Well,
is the intimation that because we're Jews, we're not really equipped to do home repairs? We should be like
yeah, that's part of it for sure.
financing some sort of other.
No, he is just blaming that on why he cannot do any home repairs. He blames that. And he again tells me that if I also give that reasoning, that makes me anti-Semitic as a non-Jew. And but he also thinks everything sounds anti-Semitic, which you know, and I don't mean to have gotten, see, I told you I will be canceled. And I told you, and I didn't know it was gonna happen this quickly. Here we
Be
are.
honest, Casey, that's actually what we're leading you toward.
I know.
At
And
the
my
end of the
husband said
podcast.
that is what will bring me down. 100%.
No,
No, I
I just
hope
have to
not.
say, Moshe is just always in a home repair. Like even
That's wonderful.
before, no, but he makes everything worse, and I have to always talk him out of his bad ideas. And furthermore, he makes a mess.
Look, I appreciate that you have defied my husband's own stereotype about his people, which was wrong. And that's beautiful.
All I'm saying is that what you guys don't understand, having been raised in a Gentile milieu, is that the home repair is not really about the home repair. It's about the enforced emasculation that society has imposed upon us. And to do the repair, we are saying to society, no, I truly am a man. And then to look to our lover and have them rolling their eyes and saying, you see, this is what I knew you couldn't do. You're, in a way, reinforcing the problem that we were trying to solve in the first place.
Right. Okay. I hear that. And it seems like my husband isn't even up for that challenge of trying to attempt to reclaim the masculinity stripped from him by society. So I think you're enlightened, you know?
He's a happy cuck, is what you're saying.
Yeah. Yeah, he
You're
is. Don't
grateful.
make her say that.
We're just trying to get you in trouble. Okay,
You're
we can stop.
Moshe's half Polish, so
What's that
okay.
mean? I don't know, maybe
Uh-oh.
part of you wants to do the home repair.
Pole, you're saying Poles do home repair? Is this?
Wow. Wow.
All right, Casey. How would you feel now that we've established all of our mutual problematicness? How would you feel about giving some advice to some other people that need some help in their lives?
Okay, I mean, I will try my best.
Let's do
I'll try
that.
my
You seem
best.
like you have a very full life. You're a successful mother. You're a loving hu love You have a loving husband. You guys always
Okay.
post beautiful posts about each other.
You're an author, you're an actor, I mean, what don't you do? What are you worst at?
A podcast. She's a podcast.
Podcast
Yep, podcast tour, podcastini.
And I
What?
directed a short film, everyone.
And she's a budding director.
Don't forget
I
about
mean,
my short film. Wait, what's your short film called? it's called Daddy-O, about my father, but I'm kidding, but I do feel like I do feel like if you want to direct, women have to like come with their short film. Be like, I did something. And men, they're like, direct a Marvel movie.
It's funny you mention that because I have never directed anything, but Marvel did just reach out about me doing I'm actually going to be doing the entire X-Men series again.
Again, wow.
Yeah, debut director, 8-film deal. It's kind of interesting because mm-hmm. I have no experience whatsoever with it. So
right. They just it seems like your home repairs. It is interesting. That's the right word for it.
Moshe asked me to put him on tape for an audition. I got so frustrated. I realized I'll never be a female director.
Just by me.
was it your actor not taking direction?
It was more like I didn't want to put the phone in the tripod.
And let me just start here.
Technically.
Casey, I'm not her actor. Let's just clarify that. I'm my own actor.
See, let me say, that's why actors are in like a little cage and they just like call us out. Whereas, you know, I do like the directing, the power. She is your actor. That's what I learned as a director.
You She's own these charge. People.
Yeah.
Well, let's see if we can direct some people into greater good.
And I feel like you're going to have good advice, Casey.
Okay.
Hey, Tosh.
Yeah, Mosh.
Would you say you're a person that likes to have a soundtrack to your life?
Yeah.
You're very good at it, though. You're disciplined about turning on music to set a mood.
But what else do you have if you don't have a mood?
Well, sometimes I'll be in a mood where I'll forget that I've been sitting in silence in a dark room for over 32 hours.
It's really weird when I walk in on that.
I'll scream out to Alexa using Amazon Music, "Hey, Alexa, help me get out of this depressive stupor," and it makes having music on all the time so much easier.
And not just music, Amazon Music has more than 10 million free podcast episodes, including ours, to listen to.
That's right. You can say, "Hey, Alexa, play the Endless Honeymoon podcast," and they'll just start, and you'll be listening to my sweet, sweet, dulcet voice.
Plus, no ads. I mean, what more could you want? It gives you unlimited access to over 75 million songs, as well as podcasts, music videos, and more.
And the best part? The owner of the app just flew to space in a rocket ship he built with your money. If you've never tried Amazon Music Unlimited, now's a great time. For a limited time, new customers can try Amazon Music Unlimited free for 30 days.
There's no credit card required. Just go to amazon.com/endlesshoneymoon. That's amazon.com/endlesshoneymoon to try Amazon Music Unlimited free for 30 days. amazon.com/endlesshoneymoon.
Renews automatically. Cancel anytime. Terms apply. Hey, Tosh.
Yeah, Mosh.
Would you say you're a sweaty, sloppy, moist sleeper?
I would not.
I would, and do to my friends behind your back all the time.
Thanks.
Yeah, well, I got good news for you.
Yeah.
For those sweaty, sloppy, moist sleepers out there, Brook Linen, we've talked about their sheets before. They're our favorite sheets in the game. They have, for these sweaty summer nights, crisp, cool sheets that breathe to keep you cool. And you can say goodbye to those wet sleeps.
And don't forget, you spend 1/3 of your life sleeping, so you want to make sure your bed is as comfortable as possible.
And the best part of Brook Linen? They work directly with manufacturers to make luxury available directly to you without the luxury level markups, so you get their amazing array of products at a reasonable price.
They're so confident in their core products that they come with a 365-day warranty. They've received over 75,000 five-star reviews and counting.
So give yourself the comfort refresh you deserve and get it for less at Brook Linen. Go to brooklinen.com and use promo code honeymoon to get $20 off with a minimum purchase of $100.
That's brooklinen.com and enter promo code honeymoon for $20 off with a minimum purchase of $100.
That's brooklinen.com, promo code honeymoon, and stop sleeping sloppy tonight.
Okay, first we're up. We're going to call Danny in Melbourne, Australia.
Melbourne.
From the lockdown.
Well, yeah, they're probably partying right now.
Wait, why? Yeah. Is it better there?
Yeah, they solved it.
Is that true?
Well they just out. They locked down for a few weeks and then they're doing great, I think.
Danny.
Hi, Danny.
Good morning, guys. Well, good morning for me. How are you?
It's Natasha, Moshe, and our friend Casey Wilson.
Hi, Casey Wilson. It's Hi. Good to meet you guys. Meet you guys, as I say to all my potential clients. You look beautiful, Casey Wilson. What's happening with this light?
God bless. This is not for this podcast.
What about me? How do I look?
Yeah, what are we, chop liver over here?
I feel like your guys' Wi-Fi connection is not as strong. Oh, well, that's
And I'll admit, you guys are in the lowest, fuzziest lighting. You're like a blur of images.
Well, I mean, it is an issue that we are having because we're so far in the Northern California woods. How do we Zoom podcast and stay connected to Mother Gaia? That's an issue we've been having this whole time.
It's a real issue.
Are you guys in Humboldt National Forest? Sorry, this is not my podcast.
No, we're in Mendocino. And I just want to say that you're calling from Melbourne, Australia, and this whatever American accent character you're doing is like so fake, we can see like straight through it. Like no That's one right. is buying this like American lady character.
Right, it's definitely not like West Coast my whole life, LA for the last 14 years prior to that. No, I just got really, I started taking acting classes, so I got really good.
Well, you know what? Actually, you're on the line with three directors. Two of whom have done shorts, but one of whom is about to do an 8-picture deal with Marvel Studios. It doesn't matter.
8-picture.
Yeah, the fact that you say picture is what got you that job. For
I
sure.
I drive in Paramount in like an old-timey Rolls-Royce convertible with like an Auga horn and a little weird hat, and it's kind of like they see it. They're like, oh, I got it. One of these old school guys.
Okay, so what's going on, Danny? Please tell
How
us.
How can we help? Is it about the mistake you made by moving to Australia?
And what? Let's not unpack. We can unpack that for the next hour, but I won't. I won't take up that much of your time. I'm like, luckily, no one I know in Australia is going to watch this because they don't have good taste. So, okay. So I don't know if your producer gave you any context. I'll keep it really short. My context, but I moved out to Australia about 3 years ago at this point to be with my now Australian husband.
What did you do before?
My now Australian husband. That, all right. Maybe I'm a little nervous. Oh my God. Basically, my question is kind of twofold. How I moved out here 3 years ago. One of the reasons I thought it would be a great idea to move out here is because I knew I wanted to have kids. I was a little bit of like an older mom and I knew I wanted to get going. And he's got, you know, tons of aunts and uncles and cousins, and he's got two siblings with wives. And I have a small family, but I'm really, really close to them, but we were all spread out in the States. So I thought, you know, in my mind, without probably discussing this, I thought that'd be great. You know, when we have kids, are their cousins and the next gen can kind of grow up together. And I'm so excited to cultivate these close relationships with brothers.
Let me ask you a question, Danny. Danny, when he saw your small family as an Australian man, did he say, that's not a family, this is a family?
Well, and he actually didn't even realize.
Crocodile Dundee.
Pretty much. I mean, like, he didn't even realize that people could not come from big families. So that's just one of the differences. I mean, also, what's happened over these last 3 years is it's become kind of clear that I'm probably not just going to have this idealized version of tight-knit relationships with like his brothers. I know it's sad. I mean, I'm really close with my mother-in-law, which I know I'm really lucky. So many people have monsters in law. So I'm lucky in that sense. And she's great, but I kind of am now considering her.
Like Natasha does. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wait a minute, Casey, what the hell?
It's a feeling I get.
It feels anti-Semitic. The feeling feels anti-Semitic. Yes,
I promise it wasn't that. I promise. I love my mother-in-law dearly. Go on, Danny.
My mother-in-law is often doing home repairs, if you know what I mean.
Wait, so Danny, I'm confused. What's your question? His family has rejected you?
No, I'll get so. Pretty much what's happened is now in the last couple of weeks, probably since I wrote you guys, one of the brothers, we had a baby last May, and his brother is about to have a baby. So they'll be about a year apart. So it's like exciting time for the next gen to get to know each other. But that brother in particular has kind of explicitly expressed that he's just not interested in me, doesn't really want to be around me. He started discluding me from like family functions and stuff. Like they had a dinner party last week and like I just wasn't invited, but everyone else was. It was very odd. And it's not totally based on nothing. I think what happens is when out here, because I grew up so differently, I'm like a privileged Jewish American girl who went to college, and out here, like, my in-laws are like truck drivers and tradesmen. And I'm not saying that to be a snob. I'm just trying to illustrate this like massive point of difference in just not only the culture clash, but like our complete communication style, full stop. So what happens is I kind of accidentally become this like abrasive American who in heated topics such as like, this is why we don't hit kids now, and misogyny, and here's what feminism actually, it, like, I had to define feminism for a couple of them. Fine. I'm not, I guess I shouldn't shame them, but I kind of just become this abrasive American, as I'm termed. Whereas like at home, these are not conversations, and these issues are kind of, these social things are just kind of built into who I guess my circles of people are. And it's not something I need to get on a soapbox and talk about. So he looks at, and also communication wise, he kind of looks at it as like, see, I think there's a way to have a debate about something and then move on like respectfully and whatever. He sees it, and these guys see it as like, it's a personal attack on me. We're having a fight anytime we kind of disagree. So I'm just like at a loss. And it's sad because now this has happened where I'm not included, but I guess my question's twofold. One, how do I kind of make peace with the fact and accept the fact that like, this just isn't going to be this like Brady Bunch blended, exciting, idealized version of what I thought it would be, especially because I've been kept from my family out here. But then my second thing is, do I be the bigger person and extend an olive branch, try to mend some bridges? Because like, I've been kind of hurt, really hurt by some of the things that he said that was kind of unrelated to other stuff in front of people. So what do I do about, how do I behave about this going forward to not make our children forego love? Cause I don't want to withhold love, but it's kind of toxic for me, but I don't want it to be, I want us to get along. Yeah.
Got it. No. Okay. So the two questions are, how do you make peace with the fact that you didn't get the big Australian outback, love and connectivity kind of
The Bloomin' Onion family.
Right. The whole, you thought you would each be a strand of a Bloomin' Onion, but in fact, you're your own ring. And also, what do you do with people in your family that are assholes that you don't feel like you owe an olive branch to, but without giving that olive branch, there will be no peace and no connectivity.
No peace and connectivity, because yes, it's not like, I just want to make peace for everyone else. I genuinely like want this family. Yeah.
It's hard because I think you've put a lot of pressure on yourself moving kind of away from your parents, puts a lot more pressure on it of like, well, we're not seeing my family because I'm hoping we're going to get this. So it's a hard situation. Yeah. Are you close with their wives briefly? Got it.
So one of them, like, I actually thought I could really like, and she's kind of new to the family. I'm 6 years into the family and she's 1 year into the family. And I came at her with open arms. I was just like everything warm, welcoming, tried to connect with her. And then as soon as this drama happened with her husband, which was just like 2-3 weeks ago, which I guess is maybe she's known about longer in his head, but God forbid he would be big enough to pick up the phone a couple of months ago whenever things started bothering him. She's just like cut me off. So I'm like, is that the kind of women, like, is that what we teach women to do out here? We just are like, you know, I'm going to stand by my man.
It sounds like something else is happening because people are like not wanting to be around you. The wives are cutting you off. Like, Do you have any intel from your husband, like what could be happening?
So this is, okay. You're good, Natasha. You're good. There's two things. One is this term abrasive American that I've kind of heard, which is they use the term instead of calling people out, pulling people up. So when these kind of heated topics arise, like all of these, I don't know, kind of antiquated ways that people, conservative ways people live, like my wife should have my dinner on the table if she's not working, and like just, I don't know why hitting kids and being, you know, flobbing around racial remarks or homophobic slurs, like it's so funny, and it's like these are things that I don't want influencing my son, so they're not really welcome around me or my kid or in my house. And so when I try to then educate, I just look like a pedantic asshole. So that's like one part of it.
All right. Let me jump in. I have a feeling now. I have a feeling. First, I have a couple of questions. Why is it that you want to forge this idealized relationship that you've always
with
desired?
With a group of racists and rapists.
I mean, it's like, what idealized
abusers, child abusers, yeah.
Yeah, like what is this idealized version of family? Did it include that it would be like looking the other way at racial slurs? Probably not. So the way to make peace with the fact that you're not going to get it is that it was never available to you in the first place.
I didn't know, and that's the hard thing.
On the other hand, not to take you off the hook altogether, you know, there's like a really good rule of thumb for me in terms of, because I'm a very argumentative person too. I too am an abrasive American. How interesting. interesting. We both went to the same synagogue. There's a good rule of thumb that is, does, when you ask yourself if you need to make, because you don't have to fight every battle. I don't believe that everything you fought with your family about was something where it was an egregious racist remark that you definitely needed to take a stand on. There are certain things that you need to take a stand on, and there are certain things you need to let drop, especially when it comes to family. The rule of thumb for me is, does this need to be said?
Mm.
Does this need to be said now? And wow, does this need to be said by me?
And a racial slur, something like that, I'd say yes, it needs to be said that you need to say something to prevent it, especially in front of your kid, obviously.
Right. Well, a racial slur is a perfect example. Somebody says it. Does somebody need to say something? Yes. Does it need to be said now? Yes. Is anyone else going to say it? No. So yes, it needs to be said by me. But if I can't answer yes to all three of those questions, I'm not saying that I follow this. I'm saying this is a good idealized version of how to conduct myself with public debate, because if I can't answer yes to all three of those questions, then I can just shut the fuck up and I don't have to be the abrasive of anybody. I can just mind my own business.
I feel like that is really a great checklist. I think, I'm not saying it's not a good checklist, but when I'm at home, like in the States, I mean, still could consider that. That's a great checklist, because in my mind, I'm like, someone else will either pipe up, or this is not, you know, my bad. This is like not for today, but nobody does that here. And then I find myself being like the cheese stands alone black sheep.
And including where is your husband on this?
So my husband will pipe up, like, and I'd say let's give it the last, I don't know, 4 out of 7 racial slurs, or talking about why kids deserve to get spanked. Like he will pipe up about that.
I agree,
and
like, with that's that. Just because
what?
I agree with that.
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, honestly, why kids deserve to get spanked to me is a great example. Does it need to be said? Maybe. Does it need to be said now? Maybe not. Does it need to be said by you? Probably not. So with racial slur, it's like your kid needs to know right now. That's totally unacceptable. Never. With spanking, maybe you can go home and say to your kid, like, you know, we don't do that, and there's a reason. Do you think by taking a public stand in front of your in-laws, they're going to stop their believing what they believe about spanking? Absolutely 0% possibility that's going to happen. It's just not going to happen.
And I have some other advice for you. Like, it's kind of like a lesson in charm. And I understand that there's a reason why they all don't like you. And you're kind of like the one trying to, you know, stand up.
Natasha, I'm sorry to stop you, but if anyone could give a lesson in charm, it is truly this woman. So I think this comes from you're getting it from the best source. That's true.
So what I would do, thank you, Casey. What I would do is also try to figure out some things that the family really likes that has nothing to do with things that you say. And, you know, just when they come over, try to have, I mean, these are simple people, like just have their favorite beer ready for them.
These are simple racist child abusers. They're just simple.
Everyday simple abusers.
Yeah. Yeah. Casey, what do you think? Do you have any?
No, but do you see what I'm
That's
saying?
That's a really good point. Like,
have some of their favorite food, have some of their, you know, just try to ingratiate them and compliment them, do that kind of thing. And that doesn't mean you can't also say, please don't, you know, call Asian people that or whatever is their, you know, please, you know, and just keep being a broken record like you are with a kid. Like I was telling Moshe that the other day, I'm like, with a kid, it's like, I was telling the 9-year-old who's watching our kid, I was like, you just have to keep repeating things. You just have to keep repeating things.
But my thought is that with those three questions to yourself, you'll figure out when you need to fight, what battles you need to fight. Because your job is not to educate anyone on how to be good. That's just not your job. Your job is to stand up when something is unacceptable. Every human being has that job. But your job is not to go to Australia and come bring them your values and make sure they adhere
Turn
to
it
them.
Down a notch,
yes.
Annie.
No, yes. 5 notches.
No, that's a, you guys, really good points. I feel like I've tried in the past to, yeah, connect on common ground, but sort of, this is kind of, I think, a fleeting note that I'm taking, which is just like, it's not my job. It's not my job. But if I want peace, I'm going to have to bite my tongue more.
Yeah. I think if I may, so I have some Trump supporter relatives and I actually just flew to Florida to visit them. And I love these people. The aunt and uncle, they've been in my whole life, but obviously it's a strain because it's difficult. And their views on masks and the pandemic, it's difficult. But I did try a technique. I was just like, I'm going to detach and try to just keep everything very shallow. I have tried talking to them. It's not that I don't feel, it's just not working. They're not going to change in the same way I'm not going to. And so honestly, we really got into like the weather, which sounds dumb, but I was able to enjoy them. They enjoyed my kids. I was so detached from them. I could actually be, you know, so friendly. And we chatted about like family drop, just like common things. The kids were our like touch point. And I tried to just not get into it because they're going to say something inflammatory. You're going to have to come back at them, and it's not excusing it. Otherwise, I personally would move back home because I would. I think right now you're putting the weight in the wrong place. Like, be with your small family and then go see them in little bursts of like 2 times versus seeing them all the time. And then I just think it seems you want to move back. And then you can really love people when you only see them twice a year.
Keep it shallow. I love that.
I think that's so wise. As Casey was saying that, I was thinking, yes, like, why are you trying to alchemize this family into something that they will never become? You already know they'll never become, rather than trying to turn your own family that you actually have control over into the family that you want. You can grow
chosen
your
family.
Life. You can grow your, well, it's not chosen family because you did give birth to them. So they are your biological family as well, I think. But it's like you can grow your own family unit into the thing you want through friends and community that you build, rather than going, it's like you keep going to the dry well and trying to get a cup of water and going like, why isn't there any water here? In America, we have water.
Yeah, based on your idea of the like Norman Rockwell thing. And so I think you keep running up against your own expectation that's just not there for the taking. And it sucks. It sucks. But like finding acceptance there.
It's just really good to hear people be clear.
The truth is, behind every Norman Rockwell painting was a person making a disparaging mark about the Aboriginal people of Australia. So honestly, it was never an ideal to begin with. You just have to cultivate in the field that actually grows you fruits and vegetables, rather than going to an arid field and hoping against hope that someday a fruit will pop up. Ain't no fruit.
Nope.
There's no fruit, just dry, dusty seeds. But like I found out here in my first month of being here, I was like, oh, I need like peeps. This is not going to work like for me in an extended way. So I found there's there's a big like a 5,000 person American expat Facebook group. And my two best friends, they have 2-3 kids of their own, husband, like all of us, the 6 of us adults, we get together and have Friendsgivings. Like, so that even my husband has tried to say like, we have like, these are not, I know, my blood people, but like you have a lot of love here and you have to just start being grateful for that instead of hanging on. Cause I do, I'm not somebody that I need people, I guess.
Yeah. Lean into the place where you're getting nutrients rather than hoping they pop up somewhere else. I think we've solved your issues.
Okay, Danny, good luck.
Thanks.
Good luck.
Fun
good
camping. Luck, bye, Casey. You look great.
Thank you.
And if all else fails, just make a Crocodile Dundee reference. Australians love that. Well, Casey, you
Steve
gave
Irwin
good advice.
Reference.
Yeah, Steve. Oh, yeah. That's a
R.I.P.
cultural point that everybody feels good about in Australia. Casey, you give great advice as we knew you would.
Yeah, that was really good. Keep it shallow.
Keep it shallow.
Is it hard? Like, is it do you find that like Trumpers that you know, they want to get into it or no?
Are they also down to keep it shallow?
Yes, I think so. Some are and some aren't. But also, it's like the level of respect I've had for like the time and effort they've put into my childhood and my life. And my mom passed away like 15 years ago. So part of me is like, also like, what would she want me to do? My mom was like, actually like a feminist leader. But I actually think she would be like, just go have a really nice time with my brother, please. And let them be in the kids' lives. And, you know, I don't know. So... but it's very challenging. Like I have one relative who's a Trump supporter, not my family in Florida. And, you know, it's very difficult to overcome. Like what comes with that is someone who's supporting a bigot and speaking of anti-Semitism, supporting someone who's fanning those flames. And it's very difficult, like from an emotional standpoint to put aside. It's very difficult, but it's like, okay, but
well,
at what cost? So what's my end goal that I don't see my family? It's like, I think going to that end goal and like, it's almost like divorced parents. Like I'm just trying to kind of try to understand like, okay, we have to kind of keep this together for like my kids to have relationships.
No, but the problem, I think what you're saying is so right on, and yes. And the problem with that is that there's been a change in the way people talk about politics. When we were growing up, there was that idea, don't bring up religion or politics at the dinner table.
Yeah.
But now it's like, oh no, actually find your political adversaries and take them down. That's not just on the
at
right.
At the dinner table.
By the way, that's not just Trump supporters. That's people in my political camp too. It's like, find the Trump supporter, challenge the Trump supporter, and change them. No one's ever changed anything. Although I recently was on a Facebook wall argument, and I did have a profound political change of heart. No, I didn't. That's never happened in American history.
Wow. Someone trolling you got through.
Yeah, somebody got me.
But it's also sometimes hard to keep it light because it's like, oh, well, can we actually go outside? Because if you don't want a mask, you know what I mean? Like, it's like even logistically having a conversation with people.
It was hard. It was like had to be negotiated a bit. You know, it's like I have my boundary, which is like my kids aren't vaccinated. There's a lot going on right now. I thought it was generous of us to fly there. And then now we're going to do everything inside. And, you know, those are my kind of ground rules. And they respected that. They really did. So,
yeah. Let everybody think everybody's crazy, and I guess change the subject.
Exactly. Like I knew they were rolling their eyes at me, and just as much. They're just like, California liberals, you locked it down so much, your kids didn't get any goddamn interaction. They think the master child abuse, and the numbers are not that much different. And so I was like, am I Republican now? I'm hearing that. But it's just like, we are not changing each other. And I'm not saying that means we shouldn't try, but after a few tries, it's just like, I know no one's changing me.
Yep. I love
so
that.
I don't
keep
know.
It shallow. Keep it moving. Speaking of keeping it moving.
Wait, but she's so good at advice. I think we should do one more call.
Oh, are you down, Casey? One
more
call?
Yes, of course.
Let's do another.
Hey, Tosh.
Yeah, Mosh.
Would you like me to tell you my favorite mattress company of all time?
You could, but I already know because you talk about it all the time.
I talk about it all the time because that's how good a quality this mattress is. It's a mattress in a box that feels like a little slice of heaven was shipped to your door. I just replaced two beds in our home that were old and lumpy, and now I feel like I'm sleeping on a cloud. I go from bed to bed to bed, and I sleep in a different room every night.
And you have to take the quiz. Helix Sleep has a quiz that takes just 2 minutes to complete and matches your body type to sleep preferences to the perfect mattress for you. Why would you buy a mattress made for someone else? With Helix, you're getting a mattress that you know will be perfect for the way you sleep.
And the way I sleep every night, no doke, no doke, no doke is on Helix. Do I speak perfectly all the time? No. Do I sleep perfectly every night? Des.
No, these are really the best mattresses. I love how they come. They come in a little box. You unhook them, then they start to like breathe out into your bed. Our kid loves hers. By the way, our child has started napping on her bed, and I think it's that new mattress.
I don't think I know. Go to helixsleep.com/honeymoon. Take that 2-minute sleep quiz, and they will match you to a customized mattress that will give you the best sleep of your life. You know, your dad came to visit. He slept on the Helix mattress, and he started going, what company was that?
He's going to buy one.
He's about to buy one because he slept on it one freaking night.
Helix is offering up to $200 off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows, which we always need, for our listeners at helixsleep.com/honeymoon.
They have a 10-year warranty. You can try it out for 100 nights risk-free. free. They'll even pick it up for you if you don't love it. But we don't ever have anyone say they didn't love it, because you will love it. Look, I'm not a perfect copy reader, but when I speak from the heart, I talk about Helix. Hey, Tosh.
Yeah, Mosh.
I've been looking for an employee for my company lately, and I gotta say, OnlyFans is not a good place to find a candidate. Do you have a suggestion?
What about ZipRecruiter, Moshe?
That does make a lot more sense. What are they all about?
Well, if you have too many resumes to sort through, yet you need to hire someone ASAP, maybe you don't know where to post your job to get it to the right people.
Hiring can be a headache. It can be like trying to find a needle in a haystack. You can post your job to some weird job board, but then all you can do is hope that the right person comes along, which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/honeymoon.
In fact, ZipRecruiter is so effective that 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
I've been on OnlyFans for over a year looking and looking and looking, and I have not found the person that I need.
It's no wonder that over 2.3 million businesses have come to ZipRecruiter for their hiring needs.
And right now you can try ZipRecruiter for free at this web address, ZipRecruiter.com/honeymoon.
Once again, remember to go to this unique place, ZipRecruiter.com/HoneyMoon. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
Okay, we're going to call Stuart and Isabel in Manhattan.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi, guys. Quick question before we get started. Would you rather be get cancer or canceled?
Getting canceled is your fault.
Yeah. So can't.
Yeah,
you pick cancer?
I can blame it on the universe.
Yeah.
Yes, okay, great.
By the way, we're here, not just Natasha and Moshe, but our friend Casey Wilson.
Hi, guys.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
So do you want to just kind of get into it? Tell us what's up.
Yeah.
Sure.
Okay. So some background. We've been dating for about 2 years. Stuart wanted to move to New York before we started dating. When we started dating, a few months in, he asked if I wanted to go with him.
We met in LA, by the way. We lived there previously.
Yeah. And I was a little nervous because it was obviously very soon, but we really, really liked each other. So I said yes. Then the pandemic hit and we pushed it back a little bit. But we eventually ended up moving last August. And it was so hard. It was so lonely. Like, our housing situations got really complicated. It was just super difficult. I was working from home, so we were together 24/7. But we still did it and we still made it through. And it's been getting better as things are starting to open up, but we definitely haven't been having an easy time. And yeah, I guess the question is,
how do we retain?
When will this nightmare end?
That's question number one. Number two is, how do we retain our strong bond in our relationship and how much progress we've made while also learning to develop as individuals, as young people and stuff.
Casey, you want to take that one?
Back to you, Natasha.
I mean, Moshe and I mean, it's definitely, this has been the hardest time of our relationship. We're in couples therapy. We've
so
never
difficult.
Been in that before. It's this is definitely, I felt like we never really needed help and now we do. So, I mean, I almost feel like I don't know if I'm able to give advice on that subject because we're having a hard time too.
Well, lucky you, I can give advice on that, on any subject, whether or not I have the rhetorical authority to do so.
This is part of why we get into fights all the time. I didn't quite realize what a know-it-all Moshe was until I was stuck in a house with him for a year.
I don't think I'm a know-it-all. I just know a lot about almost everything. So not everything.
I used to call it know-it-all. Now I know there's another name for it, when men explain things to you and you're not sure about
it. Right, being correct. But here's what I've been thinking a lot about this lately. You know how the restaurants before the pandemic that were kind of, you were already a little bit like, wait, how are you in business exactly? And then the pandemic hit and those are gone. Every one of them is gone, right? A lot of those restaurants, you're like, well, I guess that kind of made sense because I didn't really, the Pacific Dining Car, RIP. I'm so sad that it's gone. But it was this 24-hour gourmet white tablecloth steak restaurant And you were kind of like always like, how are they possibly profitable? They died, right? The same thing is true with individuals. So everybody that you knew before the pandemic that was a little bit unstable is completely gone and just like needs severe mental health help. And the same thing is true with relationships. Every relationship that was rocky and ready to split, done. But that trickles.
But they never got to establish.
But what I'm saying is that trickles all the way down, which is the healthy, positive relationships, the profitable restaurants, the people that were in a good place before the pandemic are all a few notches down in difficulty and challenge. I feel like Natasha and I were very healthy, but we are in a different space and having a bigger challenge than we were before the pandemic. So just like knowing that, like you guys to me are a success story, even as difficult as it is, you guys happen to have found each other and happen to be this couple that was able to make it through this whole thing, because in a normal circumstance, you would have been a rock solid couple and things would have been really smooth because you would have had your own individual lives and you would have done it in a more normal way, but no one's going through anything normal. That's my thought. Casey, what do you think?
Oh my gosh, guys, I have a bit of a different take and I don't know if I should say it.
Say it.
Of course.
Can I ask? Because I do agree with everything you're saying and it's hard to move to a new city. These have been like extraordinarily difficult situations. So I'm like so empathetic and sympathetic to it. But sometimes my husband has said this. He's like, if you got problems at the beginning, you don't know what the hell you're headed for. Like when you have kids, when it only gets worse. So part of me is like, if you're struggling this much at the outset,
move back to America.
I'm worried.
Leave Australia.
You both seem so lovely. And this is my question back to you, actually, because I don't know that I'm right. I'm just saying, like, before all this happened, were we at a 10? Were we like crazy about each other?
We were crazy about each other. We had problems.
So we weren't like on a little of like, ooh, ground.
No, we felt like, yeah.
Then it seems like Moch was right. Okay. I was just kind of taking the restaurant analogy of like, were we the restaurant that's like, why are we are even open? Or we. Okay,
make sense to have white tablecloths at 4 a.m.
Right.
Wanted to understand that.
No, I know what you're saying, Casey. Was like, was this move together a kind of triage situation to solve a situation that should have been solved in the first place? Or did you happen to move together because in a normal circumstance you wouldn't have had to move together? It would have been able to have its own organic flow, but we all went through this global trauma together and here you are.
Yeah, it would have hopefully been a lot more normal and like regular.
Yeah, we were also,
and you would have had independence and your own friends. Do you guys have your own friends outside of each other where you live?
No. We have like
all the friends we've made together.
Yeah,
everyone new to us has been as a couple.
That to me is like the gist, and I know it's so hard with the pandemic, but just like trying to just get out of the house and let the other just like find some means of space or friendships or things outside of the other one, weirdly, is just like stop spending so much time together. But I know it's so hard, so it's not like you're wanting this, it's just what's happened.
I think that alone could be a nice goal for each of you, you know, just like, and you don't even have to be like, we each have to make a friend, you know, but it's like, what are the things that you enjoy doing? You know, like I was just in Atlanta for 10 days without Moshe, but like I kind of got into different television, like just things that I want to watch, kind of following my bliss. Like even alone, you can kind of do something like that. And then maybe there's an exhibit you want to go see. And I'm sure there's a lot of outdoor things happening in New York right now. So it's like, yes, maybe you can't do a certain thing, but you know, like look at what's happening outside in New York where you could like, you know, even if it's like vintage shopping or I don't know, just something that interests you that you might not meet other people, but at least you're like filling yourself.
No, I think that's right. Just because the two of you were able to make it through this with unrelenting, unceasing, never ending companionship with
one another,
doesn't mean, just because that happened, it doesn't mean that that is now how it must be. Like now that things are relaxing, you can try to do a reset because yeah, just like Natasha said, like one of the things in our relationship that was important was that we both needed independence from each other. And then the world took away the ability to get that independence. And now we're kind of sniping at each other, but we also are finding it difficult to detach because we're so used to it after a year and a half of always being together. And
yeah, it seems like you guys also want to be together. It's interesting.
Yeah, it sucks. We just like each other too much.
Can you go out with the girl of the couple you've met, or, you know, like even silo those people off a little?
I guess so. I mean, honestly, it's just been so hard for us to like make friends individually.
Yeah.
I kind of wouldn't even really know where to start.
Yeah. It's hard to make friends older, I feel like. It's just so much harder.
100% it's harder to make friends. I think once, when you're in your 20s, you actually, how old are you guys? You guys look like you could be in your 20s. How old are you? 30, 31.
I'm 25.
31? I'm 25.
Yeah, you guys look, I'm
like,
sorry.
You, fuck you. Yeah,
you're sorry. Both 47?
Yeah, hard. Yeah, you, no, you, now that you,
you
say
guys are
it, you
so young.
Like, now that you look, yeah, you say you look 25 and 24, but like you've lived through too much. I really aged 25 and 24. Now that you say it, I see that you guys look like a kind of, no, I'm joking. You guys are young, so maybe go out and meet people.
You have to go out. I mean, that's just part of it. And you have to go out alone. You have to go out together. You have to. I mean, it's New York. Like, walk somewhere. Walk to the fucking plaza and have a drink at the bar. I don't know. Do something.
No,
Go ahead, Casey. I was just going to say, and again, I know these seem like almost Republican values coming out.
Looks like somebody won at the Trump family gathering.
I know. I was saying earlier, guys,
and stop living in fear. That's my advice.
No, but I am saying, I think we've gone so far in one direction that when it is affecting mental health, and I am personally like, and I'm not going to get on a high horse, but if you are vaccinated, I know there's problems, but I think we are now letting fear rule us to the point that it is disintegrating our mental health and lives. And I personally, I'm pulling back in the other direction. I won't do it anymore to that level. I just won't. And obviously, I'll wear my mask and I'll be safe and I try to see everyone outside and I'm doing all those things. I'm not saying that, but I do feel like what I'm hearing is like you guys adhered amazingly to the pandemic as we all should have. But now like the world is in a transitionary state. I know we're like toggling back and forth in this like super scary way. But I just think living in fear, it just puts a fucking damper on everyone. And I'm not even saying you're doing that, but like, I think
I want to know how to stop, Casey. Do you have any practical suggestions for not living in fear, not checking the news on your phone?
I don't check the news anymore, which I'm not trying to be ignorant. My husband does. And I'm like, where are we at? You know, but I was up at night, every night I was having to take like Klonopin. Like I was really just going through, and I've had a couple friends who like to send me like the most alarmist news articles. I had to be like, you have to stop. Like I have to just try to assume if I'm doing everything in my power to be safe, that I don't know. I can't be at the 10 anymore. It broke me to my core emotionally.
I think we all feel that way too, but like, I think.
I don't mean at the risk of harming others or anything like that, obviously.
No, but something else happened as a result of being in that much fear and trauma. And it's interesting to think about that everyone on Earth has gone through the same version of trauma with them, 1,000 different iterations of what it looked like. But you remember?
Even the billionaires.
Now, you guys are only 24, but have you ever?
Even us, Hollywood elite here, we went through that.
Coastal elites as well.
Have you ever seen the classic old film, very old classic film, from another generation called The Shawshank Redemption? Have you ever seen that old chestnut?
Honey, she has.
What, you haven't? For real? Okay, first of all, you have to watch it because it's great. And I was making a joke because it's not an old film. But there's a character in there, right? This guy, Brooke, who gets out of jail and he's been in there for so long that when he gets out of prison, he doesn't know what to do with himself and he ends up not being able to live on the outside. So that's called being institutionalized, right? So beyond the fear, which was reasonable for a while, but now has become like monolithic, also we've all become slightly institutionalized. And it's like, just because you can make it through prison, just because you can live with your cellmate and make it through, just because you are dependent on the system doesn't mean that it's healthy. So we've all become institutionalized, even in our little relationships. And so the way to get out of institutionalization is to fight against it. And I think that Natasha's right. Like, if you were still in LA, I'd say one of you needs to go to the desert for the weekend and the other one needs to stay home, and then you swap and go. But you can't maybe afford that in New York, and the desert's further away. But you've got it's New York. I mean, there's a million different adventures that you guys can have without each other. And I think it's time to start implementing that, like, yeah, alone time, so that you can kind of grow independently, because you guys, you became married before you even started really going steady. And yeah, now it's time to go get individual so that your relationship can thrive.
Yeah. And if you see something that sounds fun for the two of you as a date, you should also do that. Like, I think, you know, unique, you know, we kind of, our brains thrive on novelty. So, you know, there's also part of you that's probably really bored with each other. So, mm-hmm, you know, if there is something you're like, oh, but this would be perfect for us, like, you should still do that too. Like, keep continuing to make your own relationship special and fun.
But you guys have it hard. Like, you're in such a small space. It's hard in New York for everyone. Like, I have such empathy, and it seems like, you guys are going to do okay, but you're almost like codependently now, it feels.
Yeah.
And I feel that too with my husband. So I'm not saying that with any judgment at all.
Nope. This other thing has happened too, which is that it's not just that we spent a year and a half together. It's that we spent the worst, nastiest, grossest year and a half together, where it's like we were in our underwear 75% of the time. There wasn't that 3 to 6 to 9 to a year long period where you were still trying to impress one another. We went straight into like old domesticated, like, it's fine, I'll just like wear my boxers for a week. Does this sound familiar to you at all, Natasha?
Yeah, honey.
So I'm saying, not only do you need to thrive individually, but also find a way to thrive as a couple. Natasha was right. Get dressed up. Go out to, you know, go paddle on the fucking paddle boats at Central Park. Do corny stuff, because all of that corny stuff that wouldn't have felt corny because you were in that insanity that early love is, that went away with you guys just like planning to move to New York together. So go back and retry to make that relationship romantic again. Make relationship romantic again, as Casey's relatives would say.
That's right. Yep. That's right.
All right. Well, good luck, you guys. I feel like you have a lot of sex, though.
I hope we helped you.
They are hot, aren't they? They do look
Yeah.
hot and young. Yeah.
Honestly, I'm jealous of you guys. So.
Yeah.
Just take advantage of it.
All right. Yeah. Good luck, you guys.
It's good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Really appreciate it.
Bye.
Casey, that was helpful again. I knew you'd have some.
I feel bad. I was basically like, break up.
Well, that's Natasha's role usually. She's like, I don't think this is going to work. Go your separate ways.
But I don't understand how to help people anymore with that kind of thing.
But they looked so crushed when I said that.
Well,
that's a good sign.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, that's a good sign. No, I was wrong.
And I do think getting off of the news is really positive, because also I feel like they're targeting us, and it's just like one horrible tragedy after the other. Like, our kid's in the woods right now, and she was like playing in like an outdoor swing. And I just keep thinking, like, all of the articles that I've heard, like, just this past year, like, tree snaps on hammock, family of four lost in the woods, a book, like, I've just, like, 5 different headlines.
That's not the news you need to hear. That doesn't affect your, like, it's just too triggering to me. Like, to hear all these stories, I'm now like having trouble driving. I'm like, something's gonna happen while we're driving. And it's just like, oh, I don't know.
But then sometimes it's like, I will read the article because I'm like, well, maybe there's a kernel of wisdom. Like, how much weight can you put on a tree in the woods if you're going to put a hammock and 2 bodies in it? Like, I'm like wanting to be an expert on everything, because maybe there was some, but it is very challenging, because, you know, I'm not letting her enjoy herself outside in the woods either. I'm like, maybe we should all just go inside and watch TV.
And may I ask, are you guys really out there because of like the variant, or are you just on vacation?
We're on vacation, but it was
vacation,
but it was good timing. How about that?
Oh, yeah.
Moshe has some like land up in like 10 hours north of LA, so we'll kind of come up here at certain times with another family.
That's really nice.
If any of our podcast listeners can figure out where we are, it's kind of a nice, it's like a, you know, a scavenger hunt, and you can come meet us if you can find a plot of land. Anybody is welcome.
I'm going to take Casey's advice with the news and keeping it superficial. I think that I'll keep it shallow. Let me know. Moshe, let me know if anything crazy is happening.
I literally will, I'll scan headlines with like a very, you know, this Natasha from, we went to the same acting school at NYU, you know, they talk about soft focus. When oh, you're like not like looking at anything, I kind of like scan it lightly. And if I see anything that's triggering or dark, I don't read. I'm like, I can't read this.
That's how I read the news when there's a big fight and I haven't watched the fight yet. I'll kind of like read it with crossed eyes and
yeah. try to
avoid getting spoiled. So you're doing that, but with all of the news of the yeah, world.
Yeah, and I'm not trying to be ignorant. It's really not that, but I do think there was so much before the election of like so entrenched and steeped in it that I'm a little like, there's just been so many catastrophes this year that I need to find a place of joy this year. And I'm just trying to like shuck off fear. I can't do it anymore.
And I also realized, because I read this magazine called The Week, and I had like some yeah. old ones shoved somewhere, and it was like from 2020, but it was like Trump on every single page, like two or three times. And like, we should be very grateful that he's not there anymore, but I think he did kind of like open up this like, now there's like content to be filled.
Yes.
There's horrifying content openings. So I think,
and I'm certainly not being like, Joe Biden's in office, so I don't need to read the news anymore. But I am trying to take a little advantage of like, okay, someone else is at the wheel. Maybe I can like just a little bit. And again, I don't mean to make it seem like I'm not trying to play a role or certainly like, I don't know, be engaged.
No, I think what you're saying makes perfect sense. The last 4 years have been an unnatural degree of news inhalation.
And then yes. it ended with the pandemic.
Yes.
And then an insurrection. I mean, it's just been unbelievable.
I know.
That's why we're in the woods.
Unbelievable.
That's what I'm saying. That's why we're in the woods. It's not the Delta variant. It's the human variant. It's just like it helps to get out of career, news,
yeah,
everything, and just get out. And that is what the Red World.
My woods is like girlfriends in the backyard laughing, going to dinner. Like, I'm just like, I must reconnect with people. But I'm an extrovert.
Love that.
That's great.
But I also don't own any land anywhere else. So we're always like, we have nowhere to go.
Well, I didn't realize you weren't a landowner when I started the podcast.
I know you didn't. I know. I wrote the producer ahead of time to try to press you, but I guess that message didn't get passed along.
Hey, Casey, crazy. You can have this land. It's
the most beautiful, like being like on Endor. I mean, yeah.
But it sounds so nice, though.
Casey, this was awesome. And, it's, you know, speaking of connecting with girlfriends in the backyard, there is something nice about seeing people that you like, even on a digital interface. So thank you so much.
And also, don't forget, Casey's book, The Wreckage of My Presence, has gotten rave reviews. Your podcast, Bitch Sesh.
And Black Mondays.
And you're on Black Mondays. So I'm sure you have even more things coming up.
The short, Daddy-O. Don't forget to look into the short, Daddy-O.
Don't forget to remember that you can watch 15 minutes of my journey. And actually, people are like, where is it? I'm like, I don't know how to access it. So they're like, can you try to post it? I'm like, I don't know how.
Everybody should pick up your book.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it. Moshe, I have your book in my bookshelf. I love it. I have it very much on display right there in my bookshelf. And my husband loved it too.
Oh, I love that. Thank you so much. That's so sweet.
You're welcome.
I'm working on another one right now, and it's like taking up every ounce of my brain. So
it's just a lot of work.
It is so much work. Did you like the process of writing a book?
I did. I didn't. I underestimated how much work it would actually be at the second, like at the end.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I did like it. But it took me so long. But I really did like it.
I feel like a lot of entertainers like the idea, and then they get into like the nitty gritty of like how isolating and solo, and you know, there's not a lot of feedback until the end part. You know, like
yeah.
a lot of people feel driven crazy by the process.
Well, speaking of last thing, that to maybe what I started doing is like Jesse Klein, a friend of mine, and a couple other girlfriends, we who was also writing a book. We would get on Zoom together and write, and we wouldn't talk for like 4 hours, but there would just
be other faces.
And then we would just set timers and then we'd chat for a little. And then someone would be like, I'm taking a nap. This was like pandemic, like darkness, but like, I'm taking a nap, and just simply keep their screen on. And then they'd exit frame. I mean, it was getting so strange, but it's so isolating. And it was like, just helpful to see someone else's face and working and like,
and you're like, you know, someone's, you're someone's kind of there too.
Checking you. Yeah.
No, yeah. Totally. And I'm like, oh, they're working. I should do something here.
That's really smart. I love that idea. And I've been doing something similar, but I don't have any friends writing books. So I have this girl that I found on OnlyFans, and she and I just kind of interface on the webcam, and I write. She does what she does. I look up once
in a while. And what does she do when you say she does what she does?
Listen, I don't want to really get into that. That's more of a, it's a HIPAA thing. Actually, that's honestly a HIPAA. That's a sort of violating my HIPAA rights by even asking.
Right.
But, but she does what she does.
That's right. Okay. She does what she does. Well, you're right. Well, thank you guys for having me. This was so fun and so nice to see you guys.
Great to see you too.
Okay. We'll see you soon, hopefully. Okay. And I'm excited to read your book.
Yep. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye, everyone.
Bye.